Hello, listener. It's Frank here. Just a very quick pre-episode preamble here to just explain what this is. On Saturday, the 3rd of September, Peter and I did a live stream with Phylian, who's another Arkham content creator, and we were announcing a lot of cards for the Scarlet Keys, in particular, an investigator, Vincent Lee. We were announcing an investigator. What I've done is I've grabbed the audio from that recording, and I'm going to put it out as an episode as well. But it's worth noting that this is the audio from a live episode, and rather than having three separate audio streams that I can then edit together neatly, I just have one audio stream because I've taken the post audio rather than the separate audio. And I wanted to say that up front now. It's going to sound poorer quality than a usual episode. I'm sorry about that. And the other thing you're going to hear in this episode is us talking over each other, us interacting with the chat, all the people who tuned in. If you're one of those people and you're listening to this as well, thank you so much. It really made it really special for us. And, you know, you can probably hear that we get stuck. We talk over each other. We try and interrupt each other. We have lots of different ideas, which is the sort of thing that normally I edit out because I don't like listening to it. But I think it's better that we have this up for posterity. And it's up on our YouTube channel if you want to see our faces and see the cards themselves, than that we just leave it to be forgotten. Or actually, the other thing for me, the reason why I'm sort of doing this is I don't want it that you miss out on this if you're a keen listener of the podcast, but you weren't able to join us on that stream on that particular afternoon. So I want you to be able to hear it here, which is why I'm creating this. Peter's asked me to add the usual disclaimer. We only had spoilers and previews up to the point that we knew about. So if between that stream happening, which is the audio you're about to hear, and this episode going out, you then discover that there's an amazing healing card that we didn't mention, sorry, you know, we don't mention everything. We also don't mention medical texts at all. And people talk about medical texts a little bit for Vincent. So, hey, you know, you can't cover everything. There's just so many cards. And I'd add as well that while we're streaming, Peter was also doing all of the tech. So he was keeping an eye on chat, as I was trying to do, also running the slideshow of all the different images we had. You can hear us describe some of those images as well. So as a result, our focus isn't quite what it normally would be. But I really hope you enjoy listening to this anyway. If you want to go and watch on YouTube as well, you can do. If you've got any thoughts about it, you can obviously contact us. And we're just really excited to share this with you. So on with the show. Bye.
I swear by Apollo the physician, and Asclepius, and Hygieia, and Panacea, and all the gods and goddesses as my witnesses, that, according to my ability and judgment, I will keep this oath and this contract.
Hello, you're watching Drawn to the Flame, a podcast and sometimes stream for Arkham Horror the Card Game. I'm your host, Frank, and thanks so much for tuning in to everyone who's tuning in. It's great to see you all. I've already been laughing. You can see I'm smiling just because of some of the comments I've seen on Twitch. So thanks, everyone, for already being here and commenting. And today I'm joined by...
It's me, Peter. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yes. And today we're joined by...
It's me, Phylian. Hello, Frank and Peter.
Hi, Phylian.
Hello, how's it going?
I am doing well. It is way earlier for me than for you guys, but morning is just as good a time of day as any to talk about Arkham Horror the Card Game.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for getting up to join us. Appreciate you being here. And we're here streaming because we've got some cards to reveal for the Scarlet Keys, which is awesome. And yeah, we're going to be diving in with that. I love it. The chat has already said, Peter too? Frank and Peter together?
Finally. I didn't. How long has it taken?
Yeah, it's rare that we're here together. But yeah. So, Phylian, if people haven't heard of you before, how might they have come across you for Arkham before we dive in?
Well, I've run a very small Twitch stream, but I also participated in the two previous Horrors Without Borders charity streams. So if you saw someone beat the Dunwich Legacy in 2 hours while sacrificing Duke to Yogg-Sothoth and still winning, that was me. That's like my big Arkham thing I've done. And then I just talk in the community discords a lot.
It's great. Yeah, I was very honored to be your guest for one of them and realized how out of my depth I was.
you joined me this year for just how fast can we throw Lita Chandler to Umerdoth.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing how much preparation goes into speedrunning, it's not just go as fast as you can, it's know everything you're going to do as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. A lot of preparation and, oh, I know what to do on this treachery. Oh, I know what to do here. It's a fun time.
Amazing. Right, well, I reckon we dive in.
Well, I was going to say hello to everyone in the chat first. We've got lots of names I recognize. Looks like we've got, there's even some of the Mythos Busters in there. I'll see if I can figure out how to kick them once we get talking anyway.
Instant ban.
Yeah. Well, do we want to dive straight in and look at the card?
Yeah, let's look at a card for sure.
A card. Right. Well, let's see if I can remember everything that I've done everything right.
Oh, hey, Maxine. Thanks for tuning in. We butcher your creation.
Amazing. Right. Well, we'll have to take out all the negative things we were going to say about this card. Only positive thoughts.
I paused the watch of Attack of the Clones to be here. That is commitment.
Right. Okay. Let's do it. Brill. What is this? It is
a
brand new investigator.
You like reading the front of cards, Peter. Run us through this.
Mate, there's nothing I like more than reading the front of cards. Okay, right. So we've got Vincent Lee, the Doctor. He is a Seeker. He has 3 heads, 4 books, 3 punches, and 1 feet. Mm-hmm. He has that's the official terminology. He has the medic trait, and he has a reaction ability. After one of your card effects heals damage from an investigator or an investigator's ally asset, add one of your set-aside on-the-men skills to that investigator's hand. Elder Sign effect, +1. You may heal 1 damage from an investigator or ally asset at your location. He has 9 health and 6 sanity. I will find the answers, even if it kills me.
Right, reactions time. Maybe we go to Phylian first. What were your immediate reactions on seeing this?
My first thought was probably the obvious thought of, so it's kind of like an orange Carolyn, or a yellow Carolyn, if you prefer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a slightly nicer stat line. I love me a 3 and a 1 instead of a 2 and a 2.
Absolutely.
The rogue in me dies at the 1 agility. but it makes me really go, okay, a resource from Carolyn is kind of neat. What's on the mend? What's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of our discussion is going to circle around that. And we even have noticed that as we did a bit of prep for this stream, we started abbreviating it to OTM because it comes up so often. And I'm sure that will become a common abbreviation. So it comes up if you heal damage from an investigator, which could include Vincent healing himself, but also if you heal an ally asset as well. And it's worth noting because healing of allies is much rarer than just healing of investigators. So if you've got some effect that allows you to heal an ally asset, that could be really handy. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Peter, how about you for reactions?
I mean, he's healing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's difficult to make an assessment without seeing the rest of his cards, I think, because on the mend is going to be so crucial to how good that ability is. His stat line is a kind of a nice stat line, I guess. 3 fight is a weird one for a Seeker.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, only Joe's got a better fight as a Seeker?
Yes.
Can't think of any others. And, you know, 1 stats, we've talked about 1 stats. It's nice to get the stat points from that 1 stat distributed elsewhere. And I guess if you're able to at least punch something, then maybe you don't need to evade it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and chat are pointing out, of course, it's 1 fewer stat point across his stats at the top. And then he's got 1 bonus stat in his health and sanity, like the Dunwich investigators, or just like Carolyn as well. She's got the higher sanity. So yeah, he's physically more able, but then is lacking in a stat point. Which is, it's pretty tough, I'd say.
Typically, that indicates a bonus in terms of deck building ability or flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. We've often seen like the starter deck characters have better health pools, but have much more limited deck building.
Yeah.
There's one other thing to note. To find out, though.
Yeah, there's one other thing to note about this reaction ability before we go on, and we're going to talk about this a lot more, but this was pointed out by you, Phylian. There's no limit on this ability.
Right.
So it's not once a round, it's not once a phase, it's not once for each investigator. If you have a way of healing repeatedly within a turn, in theory you could give lots of on-the-mends out, and we'll see a bit more of that later on.
Should we flip this guy over and take a look at his backside?
Yes, yeah. Right. I think I'll probably read the back then.
Go for it, Frank.
So here we have a deck size of 30, which is pretty normal. Crazy deck building options. He's Seeker 0 to 3, Neutral 0 to 5, cards that heal damage 0 to 5, and then 15 other Guardian or Survivor cards level 0 to 1. So very similar to Carolyn in the weirdness there, but the main thing is to note that he's not Seeker 0 to 5, I guess, and that he is healing damage up to 0 to 5. And then he takes the Bone Saw, one per investigator copies of On the Mend, Wounded Bystander, and a random basic weakness. And as additional setup, he puts one per investigator copies of On the Mend set aside out of play. So you have this little pool of On the Mend based on the number of players that you're playing with, which is one of the limits I was hinting at with the reaction ability. There'll only be one if you're playing solo. There'll be four there if you're playing in four player. And we get a little bit of flavor as well.
Well, do we want to do hot takes on deck building then?
Yeah, it's a tricky one to hot take on.
The hot take from me on the deck building options is I'm entirely unsurprised by them. If you told me we'd have a Seeker ally that, or a Seeker investigator that healed damage like Carolyn, that's probably word for word what I would have just said are the deck building options. I would have been thrown for a loop if it didn't mirror Carolyn, but even, you know, the 0 to 1 and 15 others in another class is just really showing us the mirror between these two.
I messaged Frank earlier on because you'll see why we can dive into the deck building details. You'll see why we're able to do that in a little bit. But I messaged Frank earlier on just saying how wide that card pool is actually when you dig into it and what kind of play styles it can support. I don't think I appreciated it until I sat down and looked at the cards he could take. And I think he can go some really wild directions in terms of builds with him.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a hot take, but I've said it to both of you, and I think it bears
Well, keep it to yourself then, Frank.
I think it bears repeating.
Okay.
So this is slightly taken from one of the things Phylian said. Like, if you just build him as a Seeker and you use your off-class to put in Survivor cards, you're basically building a worse min because he can only get to Seeker 3 and Survivor 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, and min can obviously go 5-2. And similarly, if you did the same thing but with Guardian, in a way you're just building a worse Joe because, again, he's capped at 3-1 rather than 5-2. But the thing that shakes it up is that he's both of those at once, depending on what you want to do, as well as the healing damage as well. So you just get this extra thing going on, I guess, that you can be both at once. And so I guess there's the restrictiveness that he can't go as deep into the card pool as either of those investigators I mentioned, but also the permissiveness that he can, yeah, you can be really creative essentially with what you do.
Mold of Mlem in the chat has made the point that worse min is still pretty good.
Yeah. So there is a line of text that is missing from the back of Vincent's card if we are making direct comparisons to Carolyn, which is Carolyn is not allowed to take weapons above level 0.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're things she could access through her deck building. Vincent doesn't have that restriction. Now, Seeker 0 to 3, Guardian Survivor 0 to 1, there's not a lot to take there. And we don't have a higher level weapon that heals damage, as far as I remember. We don't have a Black Razor type of thing that heals you for killing things. But we're missing that restriction on Vincent in a way that has me interested in what happens in TSK.
Yeah, well, we do know that there is one card coming up in Scarlet Keys that does heal damage, which is the Guardian Runic Axe. It starts out as not healing damage, but one of its upgrades gives it a heal damage ability. And based on how the deck building works here, you could put 10 XP into Runic Axe, which would make it a level 5 heals damage card, as long as you tick the single XP box that allows you to heal. So yeah, Adran is saying the same in chat. Yeah, Runic Axe. We knew it, really. We were just setting ourselves up. Cool. Well, I think we need to see some signatures, because I know some people had ideas about what Vincent would be like, but I don't know if anyone's seen the signatures yet. So maybe we should find out whether this Bonesaw is anything to do with fighting as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do we want to give Mike the honour of picking which of the signatures he reads out?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
We've got three cards left to go, Mike, and they're all listed on the back of Vincent there.
I am most interested in what On the Mend does, because we have no idea. So I'll let you take the next one.
I'll do Bonesaw, and then we can go on to On the Mend, and Mike can read that one out. Okay, we have Bonesaw. This is a 3-cost asset. It has an intellect, a combat, and a wild icon, and it has the item, tool, and melee traits. Vincent Lee deck only, as we would probably have guessed. And then we have an action ability, fight. You get +2 combat for this attack. If this attack is successful, you may take 1 damage to deal +1 damage for this attack. It has a second action ability, heal 5 damage from an investigator at your location. Test 4 intellect. If you fail, that investigator suffers 1 physical trauma, max once per game. And this uses a hand slot.
I love this card. I think this card is hilarious, just for how much is packed on there. It's nice seeing chat go wild to it as well.
Yeah. The point, well, first of all, I want to steal one of Mike's takes, which is that it seems like taking a physical trauma is a downside, but it means that you start the next game with some damage for Vincent to heal.
trying to convince you that that's a good thing.
You start every subsequent game with a damage for Vincent to heal.
Yeah. I just can't get over that 5 damage is the full health pool of certain investigators.
Mm.
You'd almost be saying to your Daisy player, like, no, you can take another damage because I can heal 5. And Daisy's there saying, hang on, I'm dead at 5. You need to not do that. The other really important thing to note here is that this is a bit like the Meat Cleaver, but unlike the Meat Cleaver, you only need to take damage to deal extra damage if you succeed. So you can swing with the Bonesaw, and if you miss, you've not taken horror, and you're not in a situation where you're maybe worrying, oh, hang on, I need to now take another horror as I swing again. So you only take the damage when you know you're going to deal damage, which I think is really nice. And I mean, don't sleep on that +2 combat. That gets him to fighting at a 5.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Maybe you want some boosts as well, but I feel like that's a good place to be for a signature, to get him at kind of a reasonable place, particularly on standard. Yeah,
I think 5 with boosts from both Guardian and Survivor 0-1 allies is actually a spectacular spot to be in for fighting.
Now, once again, so if we go back to Meat Cleaver, which you just mentioned, Meat Cleaver pairs well. I love Meat Cleaver because it pairs well with one of the best cards in the game, Pete Sylvester, because you can just drop the horror on him and then heal the horror of yourself. This card pairs very well with Jessica Hyde, which we're now able to confirm that Vincent can take, right? Because he can get the Survivor 0-1.
Yeah.
So that gives you, dropping Jessica in gives you at least 2 On the Mend, because Jessica heals and that adds On the Mend to your hand. Whatever it is that On the Mend does, ? But this allows you to do the same thing you do with Bonesaw, you do with Meat Cleaver with the Bonesaw. So you can just keep on popping that damage on Jessica to have a permanent 2 damage weapon that gives you a 2 stat boost. Once you have Jessica in play, you're fighting at 6 and doing 2 damage per hit. That all seems pretty good to me, right?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
And it's 2 damage per hit if you're successful. We don't necessarily talk about it a ton, but you know, if you attack an enemy engaged with another investigator and you miss, you damage them. But you're actually only ever doing 1 damage if you miss here, which I think is a tiny little upside. You're never going to hit your friend for two by accident.
Then again,
and one like is probably easy to heal if you're Vincent.
Then again, it's a bit like the old joke. If you're hit by a car, you want it to be an ambulance. At least if you get hit with someone wielding a bone saw, it's a doctor. So he can he can then risk giving you physical trauma to heal you.
Yeah. And we talked about this in preparation for the episode, but that test intellect 4, he starts with intellect 4. Sure, he's going to have boosts. He's a seeker as well, so he might be boosting his intellect. But that's a pretty steep test. It's the kind of test that you want to pile lots of resources into in terms of passing if you want to heal 5. And it's a really nasty sort of autofill magnet, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's worth noting as well. Yeah.
I'm very excited to put 6 icons into this test and autofail it repeatedly.
Yeah. If you're playing opposite Calvin, maybe Calvin is laughing with delight, but anyone else might be gritting their teeth.
Should we jump on to the next signature?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Mike, are you ready?
I am.
This is what everyone's been waiting for. Right.
What does On the Mend do? We've been asking. So as a reminder, one per investigator of these gets set aside at the start of the game. They're not in anyone's deck, but they get added to someone's hand when Vincent heals them. So On the Mend is a skill card with no level because it's a signature. 2 wild icons. It is limit 1 On the Mend in your hand. Commit only to a test you are performing. Forced, when On the Mend would be discarded from anywhere, set it aside out of play instead. It has the innate trait. Which is to say, it's basically every time Vincent heals someone, they get an unexpected courage.
Yes, that's yep. kind of bottom line, right?
With a few caveats. The first one really being, you can't give someone an On the Mend if they already are on the mend.
Yes.
Yeah. The second one being, once you have an On the Mend, you can only commit it to your own tests. So unlike unexpected courage where you can give it out.
So Biff the Boars in the chat has pointed out exactly what I think we all jumped to. Because you've got a limit 1, if Vincent tries to heal you when you've got 1 in your hand, you don't get another 1. So if you've set up for Vincent to be doing lots of healing, then you want to be committing On the Mend as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, totally. As we hinted at right at the beginning, when we looked at the front of Vincent, you could commit one of these, get healed, and then get a second one into your hand, and then commit it again that turn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 4 extra stat points over the course of a turn.
Yeah. We talked about something like I'm going to get the right way around this time, painkillers setup. Turning a damage into a horror, which is a heal, getting an On the Mend, you can do that fast. And so you could, commit one, as you said, and then commit another one. It also makes me realize as well that because you get it for healing any amount of damage, if you've taken, say, 3 damage and you want to get 3 On the Mends over successive turns, you sort of, in Vincent, don't want to heal everything in one go. You almost want healing solutions that tick over slowly. And you could be getting an On the Mend over repeated turns. This is one of the reasons why Jessica is so good. She arrives with 2 damage on her, and then she heals 1 damage per turn. So that one, you play Jessica in Vincent, you're like, this is great. I'm going to get 2 On the Mends over the next 2 turns, and then I can start topping her up with damage, and I can keep this On the Mend drip. It reminds me a little bit of the Dream Diary and having Essence of the Dream come to your hand turn after turn without you doing anything, which I think is really cool. I really like that. So what do we think, if anything, the impact on deck building for Vincent is, given that he can access unlimited unexpected courages?
The thing that jumped to mind to me, and I appreciate the loaded question you've asked there, Frank, is that...
I'm going to answer a different question.
Well, no, he sort of gets +2 to all his skills, right? The thing that it immediately brought to mind for me was the way Mark works. Sort of like a weird inverse Mark, where Mark's taking damage to get +2 to skills. Vincent is healing damage to get +2 to skills. And if you can set up Vincent in a way that he's able to get On the Mend kind of on demand, he could be quite an efficient solo investigator because he's, what, he's 5'6", 5'3", which is a pretty staggering stat line.
Yeah, it really is. The other nice thing about doing that in solo is you're only needing to worry about healing yourself. So all of your healing resources, like Jessica or Smoking Pipe as well, if you want to turn horror into damage to then heal off Jessica, they all just focus on you. You don't need to worry about healing other people, which seems really cool.
This will become apparent to people as they start to really look at Vincent's card pool. Once you restrict yourself, or you relieve yourself of healing others, and you only have to worry about cards that heal you or an ally, not another investigator, your options actually go up fairly dramatically.
Mm-hmm. And the inverse is also true here, which is if you want to give out on the mend to your four-party team, you might end up looking at things like Earthly Serenity and hoping to smash one Earthly Serenity test and heal everyone at your location. And also, can't believe I'm going to say this, Healing Words 3 heals two people at once if you want it to. So for an action, you could give out two on the mends with Healing Words 3, which I think that, I mean, quite a step up for it in terms of potency. If one of my actions as this seeker slash healer is hand two other people on the mends, it's not so bad.
That is now looking a lot better as an option than, oh yeah, I'm going to play an asset and then as an action, I'm going to heal you and me one damage each. That doesn't feel like a good time, especially not for 3 XP.
Mm. Behind the scenes, we had a bit of a talk about healing versus soak. And where we kind of got to, maybe you can explain this better than I can, Peter, is that actually he doesn't really change whether or not healing is better than soak. He just gives you this completely different focus, which is about a skill card.
Yeah, I mean, you've put me on the spot there. I could barely explain it to YouTube, let alone to 120 people.
Go for it. I believe in you.
Sort of healing's almost tangential to what he does. I think the power of Vincent is handing out on the mend. Healing's only better because it gives this card. The healing itself doesn't become any more efficient when you hand it out, I think, is what I was trying to say. Yeah. I maybe backtrack slightly on what I said for reasons I'll come on to in a little bit. When I was looking at the card pool, I found myself passing up cards which could soak. Passing up for a thing we're talking about. We'll be talking about. I found myself passing up cards which could do things like soak for other players on the team, because actually it's better to have that damage there ready for you to heal than it is for it to avoid being taken altogether. Like he could take dodge and stop an ally on your team from being hit or stop himself from being hit. But actually it's probably better to take something like emergency aid, which I mean, I think is probably going to be high up on the list of cards you take him anyway. But my point is, dodge doesn't give you an on the mend. The emergency aid does, for not much difference in what your end result is.
Yeah. I think that's spot on. We've seen another card previewed, the Idol of, I want to say Xanatos, but I might be getting that wrong, which cancels damage and is a discard ability. And he can take it, but I just... Why would you? You know, as you say, the damage is fuel for the main thing he wants to do, which is on the mend.
I think we'll circle back to on the mend as we come through this episode. I am getting some complaints in the chat that they don't like looking at this art.
The art is somewhat gory.
It's pretty gnarly.
I'm not sure that this will help, but we can try.
Right. So obviously, not all sunshine in Vincent Land. Frank, do you want to read us Wounded Bystander?
This is Wounded Bystander on Death's Doorstep. Poor little man with his bloody shirt. This is an asset weakness, ally and bystander traited. So it is an ally asset. Revelation, put Wounded Bystander into play in your play area with 3 damage on it. It cannot leave play while it has damage unless it is defeated. If it has no damage, discard it. There's 2 forced effects. When you take non-direct damage, at least one of it must be assigned to Wounded Bystander if able. And a second forced effect, if Wounded Bystander is defeated, you suffer 1 mental trauma. It can soak 5 damage and no horror, So it comes in with 3 out of 5, and you're just 2 damage off getting a mental trauma.
It's an apathetic place in the chat has just instantly said, yes, 2 free soak.
So it comes in with damage. If you do nothing, nothing happens, insofar as there's no penalty for not having healed the wounded bystander by the end of the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty kicks in if it gets defeated. But a little bit like the Baron in Marie, it just makes taking damage more tricksy. Phylian, what do you make of this?
This is a really cool card. This is my candidate for my favorite weakness in the box. And this looks like a box, based on the other previews we've seen, that has more weaknesses than normal. But this looks like my favorite weakness. The big thing I want to highlight is the first 4 stability, which is a little tricky. Because it's not like you might intuit with a... It's not quite the same as a composure. So the text is, when you take non-direct damage, at least one of it must be assigned to wounded bystander. Not damage placed on you must be assigned to wounded bystander first, but any sources of damage, some of that has to go onto you. So if you're, say, hitting with the bone saw and taking 1 damage, you can't put that damage on Jessica.
Yeah.
If wounded bystander is in play, you will have to really watch out. A, to make sure you get the trigger right, and B, to make sure you don't actually kill this guy just by existing.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you start involving guardian cards that have damage-related effects, it starts to get really knotty, doesn't it? Like, if you want to be putting damage on a guard dog?
Yeah, your guard dog's not firing unless it's a 2-damage attack. It's a really different prospect here.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that there's not a huge selection of cards that heals allies right now.
Mm-hmm.
For damage. So I think we did have a look. There's a handful, but it forces you to pick a certain number of cards to help manage this, unless you're fine with just taking the trauma, just tanking it and take the trauma. I think we could potentially hypothesize that in the box we will see more cards that will heal allies, but we don't know, right?
Do you think Abina will have more Doomplay assets or Doomplay options come in the box? Yeah. I think we're on the same idea with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some that I'll maybe highlight now. So I've seen chat mention Inspiring Presence. Absolutely, you can ready an ally and heal it. You could use that on the Wounded Bystander just to heal 1. Which is not too bad, and at least Inspiring Presence is all of the stats that Vincent seems to care about. Another one that I think is pretty important here is Soothing Melody from the Hallowed Mirror. And that, little bit like Healing Words 3, allows you to split the healing up. So in theory, you could play a Soothing Melody, heal 1 off the bystander and get an on the mend for Vincent, and heal someone else if you're playing in multiplayer and give them an on the mend, which is kind of nice. And then if you're just worried about really clearing this quickly, I think at the moment the quickest way is with emergency aid, although I'd need to remind myself as well about, I don't think Earthly Serenity heals allies.
It does not. Mm-hmm. And I only know that because I checked right before we started this.
Very good. So yeah, so I don't think there are any bigger healing bursts other than 2.
No, which is, I think, part of the key for this thing, entering with 3 damage on it. You're never going to get it in a single hit.
Yeah. I'm going to steal something that you said, Mike, before talking about this, that there is a possibility that this is a weakness you just float.
Mm-hmm.
You just leave this out as long as you heal it a little bit and you can navigate how to get through the rest of the scenario. It's not so bad. You don't need to be ready to immediately heal it so that you can get your ability back, the on-the-mend ability, which I think is nice. It can then die off actually surprisingly quickly. I think you had a couple of examples of ways that you could get killed off. You're not going to die to a Grasping Hands tentacling that, because you just put 1 damage here and 2 elsewhere. But say you attack a retaliate enemy and miss, you take a damage, it goes on, and then that enemy hits you in the enemy phase, you've taken another damage. Suddenly, if you've not healed this at all, you've taken a trauma.
Yeah. there's a couple treacheries out there as well that, you know, will damage the entire party for one.
Yeah.
And the ones that come to mind actually have peril on them, which leads to the wonderful situation where you draw that treachery and I just stare you down, not able to say anything, but I'm just looking at you going, don't do damage to me, please.
Yeah. Where do we want to jump to next? We did have some kind of relevant cards we wanted to talk through and how they impact on Vincent. We can jump in there.
Yeah, so Xylo M asks, can we heal Mario with the bone saw? And it's investigator only, I'm afraid. It's heal 5 damage from an investigator at your location. And I've seen also in chat a sort of tank deck about healing items. And of course, remember that if you want to give out on the mend, you have to heal investigators or allies. So you can absolutely do a tank deck and heal items, but you won't be giving out on the mend as well.
He can, as I found out to some embarrassment, he can take Lonnie Ritter because she heals damage, but she does not trigger on the mend.
Yeah, she heals the wrong kind of damage.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense. Yeah.
We did have a fun conversation about Lonnie healing up a jacket that Tommy definitely like wants to get into his bin. It's like two different groups of people. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, let's jump in first and just look at some straight up healing cards. Do you mind if I just read these out?
And then
we can chat through them. We've got Second Wind, which is one cost event, Spirit and Bolt traded. Play only as your first action, heal 1 damage, 2 damage instead if you drew a treachery this turn, then draw a card. And then, of course, you've got Emergency Aid, which is 2 cost. Choose an investigator at your location, heal 2 damage from that investigator or from an ally asset they control.
Yeah, this is our big Wounded Bystander heal, I think.
Do you want me to keep running through it? I mean,
they're pretty straightforward.
Keep going, yeah.
Okay, we've got a brand new card, just spoiled. Who spoiled Girish?
This was Tengo Unplan.
Ah, Tengo Unplan.
Yeah.
So Girish, is it Kadakia? Kadakia?
Mm-hmm.
He has his 4 cost, 4 XP, willpower, and wild icon, ally police. He has 3 health and 3 sanity soak. Girish may be assigned damage and or horror dealt to other investigators at your location, which is nice. And then free trigger during a skill test being performed by an investigator at your location. Exhaust Girish. That investigator gets +2 skill value for this test. If this test is successful, heal 1 damage or 1 horror. So yeah, I think that's a great... That is like stacking up the +2 stats, isn't it? You're using on the mend, yep. and you're using this ability to help.
And I think you're using Inspiring Presence in that Girish deck to then ready it and do it again. And kind of Girish becomes the magnet for some damage and horror at least. And that gets you on the mend for healing it. And you're also giving out +2s without giving out on the mend. So cool.
Yeah.
There's so much to like about the way this guy works with Vincent. And and, you know, the maybe assigned damage and or horror for others, typically we just think of that as a pure tanking thing. But I feel like with Girish, it's a, where do we need the damage to get placed right now so that we can give out on the meds?
Yes.
You're not always going to be doing that if you want your friend to actually get damaged so that they can get it on the mend from you.
Yeah, yeah. That suddenly the whole kind of discussion of who takes damage and when and can I heal you kicks off. It's really nice. And I love, because he heals damage, this is why Vincent can take him, because this is a level 4 Guardian card, which is outside of the faction access that Vincent has, but it's a heals damage card.
Perfect. We'll jump on to Solemn Vow, which is an interesting one. It doesn't heal, but it lets you move damage and horror around.
Mm.
So I think Solemn Vow is... I always think Solemn Vow is a very cool card. The reason I like it in Vincent is because I wouldn't run it in Vincent. I think it's more interesting if someone else at the table is running Solemn Vow, someone who is less likely to get hurt, maybe, and they're able to move damage onto them, redistribute it from around the table so that Vincent can be giving out on the mends more equally around the table. Mark Kerrigan is also just a really attractive target for Solemn Vow because he can move the damage onto him, draw a card, and then get that healed for on the mend.
It's which, really like, obscene at that point.
And the idea of Mark taking Solemn Vow normally is so strange, because with Mark, you have to be so careful about where your damage is sitting, and your horror pool, your sanity is so small. You have to be careful there, but now we can have a Mark that's saying, give me that damage. Give me that damage.
Yeah. Taking the damage, exactly as you say, I love it. Like, it becomes an engine in itself between Vincent and Mark. And maybe even your Mark deck can lean off some of the healing, because it doesn't need it as much, because we know that Vincent is going to be there as a pocket medic to heal him all the time and keep handing out on the mend. Super nice. Solemn Vow, I think of as such a Tommy card. And just to mention that, like, I think Tommy doesn't like Vincent very much.
Yeah, no, there's some tension there, right?
These two are not working well together.
Yeah. Tommy's like, stop fixing my stuff. Vincent's, yeah. What else do we have?
Yeah, well, let's jump on to Jessica Hyde. I think one of the first cards that a lot of people in the chat picked up. So, crucially, after your turn ends, you heal a damage from Jessica. That's healing damage that'll proc Vincent's ability and bring on the mend into your hand. Now, the thing I like about using her as an example here, she comes into play with two damage on her. And if you consider on the mend, or Vincent's ability is basically a card draw, you're paying three costs for a stat boosting ally here, which also draws you two cards when she comes into play. Mm-hmm. And then potentially, if you can keep on feeding her damage, she can draw your card every single turn, right? She's drawing.
Really obscene. I even got to the point of wondering about Trusted in a Vincent deck.
Yeah, you did.
Just because, like, you want to, if you're going to definitely have Jessica around, you might want to put some horror on her as well. If you're running, say, Inspiring Presence and have another way of healing, although I know that doesn't quite work given she heals damage, but you might have a situation in Vincent. Similarly, actually, as well, if you're running any of the Miskatonic allies that have one health, they can't do any soak for you, and you might want to shore them up. So I think it might be worth looking at Trusted again in Vincent, just because of how he might want to play with healing allies, maybe.
I haven't thought about Trusted since my first Forgotten Age run with Leo Anderson. And now we get to revisit it, 4 years later?
Yeah. I mean, put Trusted on Girish, you know? You just stack up a load. Making him into a 4-4 and with self-healing is amazing.
It's probably a good thing for balance reasons that Vincent can't take the star.
That was just in my head, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next, Peter? We'll keep jumping forwards. We've got Spirit of Humanity. So this is a 2-cost, 2xp asset survivor, which Vincent can take because it heals damage. This has two opposing free trigger abilities. You can exhaust Spirit of Humanity and take a damage and a horror to add two blessed tokens to the bag, or a free trigger and add two cursed tokens to the bag to heal a damage and a horror.
Mm-hmm. So this fits into a... Go on, Peter. Sorry.
Well, what I was going to say is, one of my concerns when we were talking about decks and then how you would build Vincent, I think if you're going all in, rogue card, on the damage and handing out on the mend, it would be a challenge to be able to damage yourself on demand. You can't rely on an enemy popping up right when you need to take some damage or a treachery. So just having a tool like this, which can also give you a benefit from self-damaging, that feels like a really good include if that's the direction you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point,
the more we looked at what things damage you, the fewer we saw beyond the bone saw and things like this.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Peter, I interrupted you.
No, I think I was done.
Yeah. There's something here about then, if it's like the basic thing is, oh great, when I heal, I'll get on the mend. But the next level is, how do I control taking damage for a benefit and then healing damage for the on the mend or any other benefit? And Spirit of Humanity. I mean, we talked about Spirit of Humanity so much when we first looked at it as well. It just offers so much, doesn't it, in the right investigator? And that could be Vincent.
The only concern I would have with Spirit of Humanity is, you want to be making sure you have that damage so that you can heal it and get on the mend. I'd be a little worried about taking horror willy-nilly in Vincent with only 6 sanity. Now, he's got Seeker 0, so he could take Logical Reasoning. I don't know if you want to start devoting your card slots to horror healing options in Vincent might be crossing the professional boundaries in a way that your friends aren't happy with. So, but you know, he can take Cherished Keepsake. He can take the level one exiling Cherished Keepsake if that's really a concern. So,
and you know, Soothing Melody will heal up your horror as well if you need it to.
Yeah, but you don't get on the mend for that.
Yeah, well,
but yes.
yeah. There's one avenue here of you team Vincent up with Carolyn, and between them, there's this weird division of like, Carolyn only wants horror and Vincent only wants damage, or they just wants to deal with those things.
Sit there healing each other for the whole game, not doing anything. we've got a lovely engine going over here, folks. We're just yeah. passing cards backwards and forwards, making loads
what
of
do you
money.
Mean we need clues to finish the scenario?
50% of the team doing nothing. Yeah. And then I suppose the other thing here is that for 9 XP you don't even need 9 XP actually. You can't do 9 XP, but for 5 XP you can do Jessica, Charisma, and Peter Sylvester, and you've got the sweet, the heal damage and horror if you wanted to. And he could do that. I mean, he doesn't want the agility boost, but he might want the horror recurring healing.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say that adding curses neuters on the mend, which I guess is the other risk here. With Spirits of Humanity.
You have Seeker level 2 access. You can add all the curses you want, and then your friends just have to deal with them.
yeah.
When they draw that curse, you're like, well, I did heal you, so we're even.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to another card. We've got... people mentioned this in the chat, and you mentioned it, Frank. We've got Runic Axe. Of course, I'm not reading all that text. That's a serious reader there. Inscription of Glory, which is a 1 XP, a 1 checkbox upgrade for the Runic Axe, says it gets the Glory inscription, which says if this attack defeats an enemy, choose one, draw one card, heal one damage, or heal one horror. So once you've got that checkbox, then the rest of the card is up for grabs. Do you want to dive into that any further?
Okay. Yeah, well, I just want to say you don't need to use this as a healing solution in Vincent.
You just need the checkbox.
The important thing is you just take the checkbox, and this could just be your weapon. It could be a card draw solution if you want to use the Inscription of Glory for draw or for healing horror. It shores up that scarier point, his 6 sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to, you can pile in other XP into other things and use it, I suppose, to, I guess... use the Inscription of Accuracy to get a big enough boost, or you can kind of go crazy at that point if you wanted to put lots of different things into it. And once you've had Inscription of Glory, he can take up to level 5 in this card, so you can take 10 ticks, which is really cool.
Yeah. Should we just quickly look at the last one, and then we can move on to the next section?
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Frank, you pulled this out of the bag at the last minute.
Oh,
the alchemical distillation. Oh, yeah. Once again, we've got a similar catch loophole as we do on the Runic Axe, where one of the checkboxes is mending distillate, and we add the option to heal 2 damage. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I quite like it. I think alchemical distillation was fine. I wasn't blown away with it when I saw it. Mm-hmm. But certainly it's got a little bit more game in Vincent, because you're handing out cards along with the healing as well.
Mm-hmm. There's a thing where you could try and translate crack the strain solution and take the restorative concoction, which just is an action heal 2, and it can do it 3 times.
Yeah.
But that's 4 XP. Or for 1 XP, I mean, you can take this at level 0, but if you wanted that as a healing option, for 1 XP, what you're basically adding is taking an intellect 1 test. So it's not, obviously, that comes with more risk, but it's another way in if you don't want to be doing the strange solution translation and everything else, if you just want another option for handing out heals.
If you use shrewd analysis with, that just popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get the second one essentially for free, because there's only one option?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
The same as Carolyn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Carolyn and Guiding Stones did the same thing.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Ancient Stones.
Yeah. So I feel like I've only scratched the surface with customizable cards, and there's much more to explore about whether I'd actually want alchemical distillation at level 5 and use the one tick on the mending distillate. I don't know. And same with the runic axe. I think there's so many imponderables here. It's, you know, who's in my party? What's my role? What campaign are we playing? All of that stuff.
I should have warned you. I put the cameras back on. So luckily you were all still fully clothed.
Yeah, I put my shirt back on.
At least from the waist up. Should we jump on to the next section? I'm just keeping half an eye on the time here as well.
Yeah.
So we set ourselves the challenge of making a Vincent deck each, bearing in mind, as we mentioned earlier, that we only know what cards are revealed so far from the Scarlet Keys. And I think even we didn't even go into those cards much when we were building decks, any of us. I guess, I don't want to put words in both your mouths, but it felt like it was quite easy to take Vincent in three very different directions.
Yes.
And build three quite distinct decks that did quite distinct things. Yeah, and let's go through them. Who wants to go first? Who's a volunteer?
I'll go first.
Oh, no, I'll go on then. Guest privilege.
I think mine is a good starting point because it doesn't do a lot special. So this is kind of what I called a Vincent Clue deck that is less concerned with healing other people. You've got Emergency Aid, you've got Hallowed Mirror in there, you've got Bandages, but those are mostly just for, oh, I have a spare action, let me give out a bit of healing. The main thing I was looking at here was I said, okay, Vincent has Survivor and Guardian 0-1. How many Clue events or Clue options can I get in there? So we kind of talked about this earlier when we said he's like a Min, but a Min with also Guardian access if you go in this direction. So you get the 4 intellect and the Mariner's Compass. But you also get evidence, because beating things up with the bone saw is actually fairly easy. Scene of the crime access and a number of other Guardian options, including Greta, who I couldn't quite fit into this deck. So this deck kind of appealed to me as a first option, because it was a similar Carolyn deck that I first played the Circle Undone with. And it was like, oh yeah, I can heal a bit of horror here and there for my teammates, but mainly I'm just going to give out little drips while I'm using my really expanded access to pick up the clues. Does this deck work? I don't know. I haven't played it yet, but what kind of person is taking Working a Hunch and Scene of the Crime and Burn After Reading all in one deck? And the answer is actually Lola Hayes. with the new taboo, but also Vincent nowadays.
Yeah. And it's just a nice reminder that we're dealing with a 4 intellect seeker, which is absolutely respectable. And we've barely talked about getting clues. We focus so much on the healing and on the mend. And he's in some way a skill card investigator, because he creates these skill cards for everyone. But your role, like it's been said before about Carolyn, if you just say, I'm just going to heal horror, you're actually not helping the team progress. You have to turn it into some kind of progressive thing where you're also pulling your weight in terms of clues or damage output or whatever else it is. So yeah, I think it's really nice to see the clue focus that you can do.
So this is just a kind of a boring Vincent that doesn't lean so much into his ability, which is why I wanted to start with it, because I've seen what Frank's done, and that's more interesting, let's say.
Well, should we jump onto that deck then? Frank, are you ready to talk through?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. So my focus was solo Vincent. So I wanted to be doing a bit of everything. My Enchanted Blades could happily be Runic Axes, and I'd maybe tweak the Hawkeye Folding Camera, but I wanted some damage options and I wanted some healing. And then I also wanted to pass tests. And you can see that I've lent somewhat heavily into skills, and Practice Makes Perfect is lovely. And I've got some clue stuff in here, some luckies, kind of good stuff. Prepared for the worst. I'd forgotten that the Bone Saw isn't a weapon, so might be a bad include. Could get rid of it. But yeah, this is a deck that essentially wants to do a bit of everything, but it also wants ways of taking damage that it can go on Jessica and she can then heal them. So we've got the Bone Saw, and then also one of the few things that gives us damage is Blood Eclipse. so we can use Blood Eclipse for that as well. And my thinking is, in theory, we get on the mend regularly, not every turn, but regularly, so we can go a bit lighter in terms of skill commits, because we should have that coming to hand fairly regularly. The smoking pipe here is about healing horror to turn it into damage to put it on Jessica and getting the most out of Jessica and looking after our low sanity. What you'll also see is that I run in the thick of it, so we have some damage on us to start, which means if we don't see Jessica, we could in theory use a second wind or an emergency aid or even a hallowed mirror to heal up and keep going.
I think that's one of the cards we all put in our decks. Michael, that was in your deck as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I think if you're not putting Thick of It in Vincent, I have a few questions, just because of the options it gives you once you're actually piloting. I want to shout out the Smoking Pipe in Frank's deck here, because that is a fast free triggered ability.
Yeah.
So you can trigger that while you are resolving a test. Pull an on the mend into your hand and immediately commit it.
Can you commit two on the mends doing that as well?
No, you would. Even if you had two smoking pipes, you would trigger one in the first player window, get an on the mend into your hand, commit it, and then in the next player window you could trigger it again. But there's no option to commit again. Your player windows are on either side.
Oh, of course they are, yeah.
Of the time to commit. Yeah.
So also, on the mend hasn't left play yet. It's in limbo at that point.
But if it's in limbo, it's not in your hand.
It's not in your hand, yeah. The limit's in your hand.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Oh, but you only... Well, in solo, you only have one copy, so...
Yes, true. That's very true. Yeah.
But yes, in multiplayer, you could do that.
Yeah. I think someone picked this up in the chat, but if you use Amanda, you can put one under her and then take one into your hand as well.
That's nice.
Because the one under you isn't in your hand. So.
And Guy is pointing out, of course, that it's not Smoking Pipe that gives on the mend. Smoking Pipe sets up Jessica healing.
Yes.
And it heals you horror.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's someday. Endless.
But your point is completely right.
Those cards have only been out for 5 years. It's reasonable to not know them.
You even said earlier, Mike, let's make sure I get these the right way around. Or it might be Frank that said that.
It's impossible to get them right. Yeah. My deck here as well, the odd one out here is Inspiring Presence, which I wouldn't use to heal Jessica. I was thinking about maybe upgrading into Girish.
Yeah.
So, seems like a good shout. Keep him topped up for horror as well in case there's a problem. But yeah, that's just in case people are wondering. But the other six skills are all practiced, so we can fetch them with Practice Mix Perfect.
I think this is kind of the build I'm most excited about. Just one doing absolute nonsense with damage, spinning damage around the table. You've built this solo, Frank, but I think there's elements of this deck you could take into a multiplayer deck, just like a high stat Vincent deck using damage as one of the currencies he's spending in order to get his skills up high. And I think when people get their hands on Vincent, they're going to start doing stuff like that, and there's going to be some total abstract nonsense going on. Someone takes a pill and that makes him way better at his intellect or something like that. I'm excited to see what comes together after people are able to spend some time with him and start looking into his card pool.
Well, and a nice solo deck is often a nice third player in a group deck as well, because they can normally do a bit of damage and a bit of clues. So if they can flex in some way, that works. So yeah, I can see that. What about your deck?
Yeah, well, let's just jump onto that then. I basically did a full-on support Vincent deck. Doesn't even really lean that hard into using On the Mend. There's certainly some options to put On the Mend in there. I've used Grizzly Totem, which can add additional icons to skill cards. If I remember right, Grizzly Totem, you can trigger that on whenever a skill card is committed to a test.
Mm-hmm.
I may have remembered how it works wrong.
Is this your first time seeing this deck, Mike?
Yeah, I didn't show this to Mike earlier because he was asleep, which is just fair enough. He didn't stay up all night for our last minute chats.
Grizzly Totem works.
Yeah.
Works when you commit something on anyone's test.
So what I wanted to do was prioritize movement, so you're staying with the other investigators' skill cards, so there's a bunch of skill cards in there, and then some healing as well. That's the way I went with that. Strength in numbers felt nice. Not only is it thematic, you've also got Grizzly Totem and Scroll of Secrets in there. So that's with Safeguard, that's four classes, I think.
Everything but Rogue.
Yeah, everything but Rogue.
Need Lonnie in your deck.
Yeah, and then, of course, if you're using Grizzly Totem, then those level one Survivor skill cards become quite nice as well. So if you wanted to go into like Brute Strength or Sharp Vision or anything like that as well, they're four icon cards at that point. Yeah, I think it really shows that you can go in several totally different directions. And then you put Guidance in this deck as well.
Yeah, Guidance, see that.
Guidance feels good in this guy who might not have something to do with all of his actions all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
It always feels weird if I'm like a five intellect seeker to give an action to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But this might be a place to do it. And I'm a big fan of Practice Makes Perfect with this guy's access. It's a great card in Mark because he's got so many practiced skills between
the home front,
Guardian and Seeker, and the home front.
Yeah. I mean, really, so Strength in Numbers is innate and Unrelenting is practiced. So the smart solution would be to have two of Unrelenting and one Strength in Numbers without three XP, but Strength in Numbers felt very thematic, so I decided to stick with it as it was. But I think that's great.
Talked about in chat is drop a couple of your XP here if this is a four-player deck and a couple of Earthly Serenity as a way of, like, I'm going to take a single test. I can definitely boost with the Hawkeye Folding Camera and Guts to pass it. I can heal everyone and give out on the mend as a sort of stepping into the final room thing. Like, here's a skill card, everyone. Here we go. We'll pass our final test or whatever the situation is. I think that's really nice. So, strikingly, we all took in the thick of it. We all took Hawkeye Folding Camera.
I did not.
No, you didn't. You didn't. You took Magnifying Glass. We've all taken Emergency Aid, which I think, particularly with the Wounded Bystander, is important as an option to be able to just get two damage off the Wounded Bystander if you're worried about getting knocked out and avoid that trauma.
I did think about whether you wanted to go with something, if you want to make a more kind of mythos tanky, if you want to go with something like Let Me Handle This, but it felt like it would be better to have the treachery deal the damage to your allies and then heal it than it would be directly to take the cards off them.
The guidance point raises an interesting question as well, which is,
I'll just switch
there's
back
something
to, that camera
to be steps. Said around having actions ready for Vincent to heal. So one of the things that's good about the Bonesaw is that it gives you a heal ability that you can spend an action to do. It's a max once per game. But similarly, having an event in hand that you can play to heal is good for knowing, okay, if I have an action, I can give someone an on the mend. I've even thought this is where I wouldn't be surprised if people put first aid or healing words in Vincent, because what they want is the ability to spend a single action and give someone on the mend. It's not speedy, it's not efficient, but they like that idea. And as we were thinking about this, I was thinking, if Carson is ever wanting to give Vincent an action, Vincent having things he can do with his action to heal, to give out on the mend out of sequence, could be really useful. So say your rogue is about to take a big test. Carson goes first, gives Vincent an action. He gives the rogue an on the mend through healing. And then on you go. I think that seems really nice where, because healing in Vincent becomes giving out skill cards, there's like this extra layer of utility, I suppose.
Yeah, there are, well, as far as I can remember, no ways to fast heal another player like outside of your turn. So if you want to give out an on the mend, that usually means Vincent is taking his entire turn to do that. And maybe you don't want him to go first. Maybe you only need one action, or maybe you want him to go do just one action to heal one person, but then give out more on the mends after everyone else is gone. So you want Vincent to go last. Carson is going to give you that flexibility to go and take an action and heal someone whenever you need it.
Yeah. Carson is really going to shake up order. Yeah. We're going to end up taking turns in really weird ways because of the way that he breaks down that who's going first, who's going second.
Well, and Carson can even give out multiple actions during his own turn, right?
Yeah.
So, Frank, if you're playing Carson, you can give me as Vincent an action to heal Peter. Then you give Peter an action to do whatever I've just given him on the mend for.
Yeah.
And then Vincent,
and then
I take my
action. Peter and I take our normal turns after.
Fourth action resign as Carson. My whole job is done. Right. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's cool in that way, isn't it? There could be some really fun interplay with Carson and Vincent in that way. A little bit like when Carolyn and Joe came out, we're seeing a non-traditional guardian and a fightier seeker, and it's not lost on me that it's a pair, I guess. Go on, Mike. What were you going to say?
Oh, just after hearing you talk about Runic Axe so much, I want to give this 10 XP guardian weapon a swing and a seeker and see what happens.
Love it. I would say that now is the time for our final hot takes, because we've covered everything, and that sounds like a good hot take there.
Are you talking one from everyone, Frank?
Only if you have one. I feel like I've covered everything that I wanted to say.
Yeah, I don't think I've got anything else to add either. I think it's easy to look at him and think, oh, he's the healing guy, but I think there's a lot more to him than that, and I'm really keen to see what solo players come up with as well, to see how he can bend his abilities to kind of thematic breaking point to do really cool stuff.
Do you have any memes to share with us, Peter?
Oh, you know what? I didn't put it in.
Oh, okay.
After all that, I'll share it on social media.
I'll
share it on social media afterwards.
That's the truly hot take.
Yeah.
the Galaxy Brain Vincent we've made.
Right, yeah. You start doing. I'll play us out with it, Frank. If you start doing a wrap up.
Okay. Well, thank you to everyone who's tuned in and joined us for this special episode. Phylian, thank you so much for joining us as well. We really appreciate it. If people want to check out your stuff, where can they find you?
They can find me at Phylian as anywhere, Phylion, but mainly twitch.tv/Phylian. I'm streaming Arkham Horror, the card game, one or two times a week on there.
Amazing.
And I'm trying to play 12 player Machinations through time tomorrow, so I'll see you all on Monday after I pass out from that.
Streaming it?
Yes.
Amazing.
I played Machinations for the first time last weekend, Mike. I've been saving up, as I always do with the Epic Multiplayer, I've been saving it till I have a chance to play it. Epic multiplayer mode, yeah. So I'm not there doing three tables or anything like that. It's so much fun. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I can play it with Frank.
So yeah, thanks so much for joining us. Just shout out to everyone who's joined in the chat. Really great. Thanks for taking the time. All the first-time commenters, really appreciate it. And yeah, if you want to stay tuned with our stuff, we're Drawn to the Flame. So we're on all social media as Drawn to the Flame or Drawn to the Flame podcast. And yeah, we hope to see you soon and speak to you all soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.